want to thank the worship team tonight. Praise God for their time. It was good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's agree together that we're looking to heaven to hear from heaven for what God wants to reveal to each of us. What He wants to show to us. Because I know He's going to do more than what I'm saying up here. So we pray. Father, we thank You, Father, for what's already taken place. But Father, we do thank You for Your great love towards us, Your great goodness. We thank You for the Holy Spirit to help us and show us, illuminate, bring revelation to us. We thank You for every person here, Lord. We thank You for what's taking place in the sanctuary and what's taking place downstairs. We thank You, Father. We thank You, we thank You, and give You glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. You know, Jesus, I want to share some things about prayer tonight. When Jesus talked about God, it was always the Father. It wasn't just God. It was the Father, which is more intimate. And the word Father means source and sustainer. And going back to the Garden of Eden, we don't need to look there, but when God the Father came in to the garden, He was their source, He was their sustainer. He provided everything in the garden that they needed. But one day, as we all know, Adam and Eve committed high treason. And that when they did that, they were then disconnected from their source. They were disconnected from their sustainer. And then they had to start looking within themselves for life's origin, for life's meaning, and purpose no longer was found in the Creator. So now it's they're doing all they know to do. But falling short because they've lost their source. Who is the answer, has the answer in many things. And then, pride came in. The pleasing and persevering of self will now be the ultimate driving force. So when they got disconnected, it was a big disconnect. It was a big disconnect. And then Adam's desires and his appetites, they lost their governor. You know, on an engine, there's, at least there used to be, I don't know how they are now, a governor controlled the speed of that engine or also helped control the speed of a vehicle. They didn't want you to overspeed. Like this rental truck I rented one time, I was like, you know what, that was a hindrance. I couldn't have the power sometimes to get around something. So, but they lost that boundary, that good boundary. And so the constraint they had been lost, they no longer had God-given parameters. Now religion comes up with parameters and says it's God. And it's not God. Because there's always bondage with it. There's always death. There's always restriction with it. God's boundaries are good. God's boundaries keep us in the realm of life, protection, and goodness and so forth. And so it's a positive, not a negative, from God's boundary. And then everything they started doing then was based on trial and error and human reasoning. Everything was based on information, not revelation from heaven. Well, it's good to have some information, but the problem was everything was based on that. They lost their source. They lost their sustainer. And then, of course, when man, Adam and Eve were created, the primary purpose of the soul area was to serve the spirit and enable us to relate to the natural world. So that when they lost that, all of a sudden they became head-ruled, soul-ruled, and not spirit-ruled. So God, of course, they didn't catch God the Father off guard. So he already had the plan, of course, to provide a Savior. And those who have believed to come in intimate relationship and fellowship with him through Jesus, through Jesus, as we know. So then also that role reversal was devastating. The desire for knowledge and wisdom, that wasn't wrong. What was wrong was it was sought outside of God. God's for us having wisdom. I mean, he is wisdom, But their desire took them, it wasn't what they needed. So what happened in this is choosing. They chose the will of the soul over the spirit. So now, I share that because when we come to Jesus, we all came with our soul stuff. We came with everything was in our soul realm, and we had enough sense after a while. We got through to receive Jesus, and of course to be born of the Spirit, and in that process. But we're so head ruled. It's a learning thing to start being more tuned into our inner man than our soul area. There's a place for our soul. We must be engaged, of course, natural things. It's that working together. So if I'm tuned in here with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm also tuned in here, so to speak, to relate to natural things. I've observed, people I would say that were mature in the things with God, they acted so real. They were not super spiritual. In some ways, you wouldn't even think they were spiritual, naturally looking at them, but they are very tuned in. Nobody's perfect, but they had learned more how to live more out of here with the Holy Spirit and still have their soul and mind working to think straight, to think right in this process. You understand what I mean? I don't know about you, but most people have a wrong idea, maybe starting out with, about prayer. Prayer is boring, it's not necessary, it's a ritual or whatever. Maybe we're not against prayer, but we just don't do prayer. I'm talking about, when you first come to the Lord, those kind of things. I want us to turn to Luke chapter 11. When we look at this prayer, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he or Jesus was praying at a certain place, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And really, some people call this the Lord's Prayer, but it's really not a Lord's Prayer. It's just a model prayer. But there's many things we can glean from this. And, one thing that's interesting, it said it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, teach us to pray. many times you don't find Jesus praying with his disciples. Other instances, when the Bible talks about Jesus praying, it always has certain things to say. Like he went up to the mountain and prayed all night. He went out to the desert and prayed. And so the disciples knew he did this. And then they would see results. They would see the blind get healed. They would see the deaf get healed. They see a maimed man made whole. And so they saw these kind of things. And one thing about Jesus praying by himself, I think he's also showing it's important we spend time with the Father ourselves. It's also good together with others to pray. So this day, when he's there praying with his disciples, they're not involved. What do you mean? They're there observing him and listening to him. Now here's the thing about the disciples. Growing up, they had prayed in the synagogue. They had read prayers. They had said prayers. So they knew that kind of thing. But when Jesus prayed, oh, this is different. This is different. When he prayed, it was so connecting. It was so connecting to a person called God the Father. And the way he prayed, they realized, you know what? We don't know how to pray. Because we said prayers, we read prayers, but it wasn't really, we didn't really know how to connect, among other things. And so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they heard how he prayed. They watched how he prayed. It so impacted them. It's like, or you can say it this way, Lord, if you don't teach us, we're not going to get it. When I first met, see, I grew up in church, never met Jesus, because our church didn't know, we talked about God, nobody ever met God. Sad, but that's the truth. So I come back, I'm back from Vietnam, I'm farming, and result, gospel radio station on a tractor. Of course, and in the meantime, of course, I met Leanne, which that was a great thing. Yeah, that's the truth. So, and married, and so now, I get born again, and they get filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't pray much, because I don't know much about prayer. But I would go tell a lot of people about Jesus, because no one told me about Jesus. I'm going to make sure others know about Jesus. So one day, I would go to places on purpose. And, I would pray a little bit, of course. And, sometimes Leanne, we'd go down to the church, a good church would come in town, like this type of church. And so we go down and we had a key to the church, and so we go praying in the sanctuary. I last about 5 minutes, and I go into the pastor's study, and I find some book on soul winning, and I start reading that. Leanne's out there praying. Because my concern was lost people. But I didn't understand the thing about prayer. I would pray a little bit. I didn't understand that. So I went to share with this woman, the neighbor, older woman. Her husband already died. I grew up next door to them. I knew she didn't know God. I didn't have a clue. So I went to see her. I learned some things about sharing the Lord, so I knew how to do that to a certain degree. So I start talking to her about the Lord. I never had this happen before. I was so concerned about her going to hell. I had tears coming down my eyes. I don't even like that. It didn't faze her. Well, I'm not trying to faze her, but I'm saying I didn't make that connection. I mean, I understand the Holy Spirit does that, but he has to use somebody. I'm a vessel, you know. So that working together, I didn't reach her. Well, you know what I'm saying? What I had. So when I left that day, I never said in the end. I asked the Lord, teach me how to pray. Because I saw there must be something about prayer that needed to take place to reach the lost. So because of that, when we went to Bible school, God put us with people that knew how to pray. And so one thing I learned about prayer, to learn how to pray, you have to pray. It's a learning thing. I've learned some things about prayer. I'm still learning. But one thing about prayer to me is not boring. It's not of that. because you start seeing some things happen, you start seeing reality. I mean, you prayed and something happened, and praise God, but that learning thing. So the disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And then he said, when you pray, Jesus agreed, you need to be taught. So many times, you know, new believers can be told this, oh, just talk to God. Well, you know what? That doesn't work. Because Jesus didn't say that. He didn't tell them, oh, just talk to the Father. No, he started sharing some things with them. He said, when you pray, say, our Father. Notice he didn't say, my Father. He said, our Father. He said, also pray for others besides yourself. Our Father. He didn't say, our God. He said, Father. You know, I remember somebody was, they were going to the Bible school, and they thought, you know, Jesus has a name. What is God's name? What is God's name? And they said something to me, and they wrote some paper, you know, and I thought, what? I didn't say anything at the time. Jesus said, just call him Father. It's Father. It's Father. I think Jesus should know. He should know. So what Jesus was doing, of course, in this process is working to get people connected to the Father, and eventually he's going to go and sacrifice so people can be totally connected to the Father if they'll believe and receive him. So, of course, when he says, our Father, he's saying, there's the source. Father, God, is the source. He's the sustainer. If I just say pretty words, that's a ritual, that doesn't work. So, and they saw too, of course, when Jesus prayed, it was heartfelt. Remember James talking about how a heartfelt prayer, righteous prayer, like Elijah prayed, boom, you know, works tremendous things. Well, Jesus just prayed his way all the time. In other words, he always was connected to the Father in such a real way. And then Jesus, his total source was God the Father. Think about this. He had never had any roots into the world. He never had any roots into the world. Now, Jesus did not live in a monastery. He did not live as a monk. In fact, Jesus was out among the people. You could see him from every angle. Sometimes we can say, don't take a picture of that side, that's not my good side. You can see Jesus from every angle. So in other words, he was fully engaged in the world, connecting with them, but he had no roots in the world. His source was totally from heaven. His joy was totally from heaven. It wasn't from anything out here. He could enjoy the things, but he had no root there. No root. So sometimes we might have to have some root-cutting things, so to speak. Well, the truth is, if he gets to focus on him, the things of the world mean less and less. It's good to enjoy the things, but it's like they don't have a hold of it. You know, and God's so good. God doesn't have all his requirements, does he? That's what's so good. And the thing I love about God, too, is like in the New Testament, he's never said this. You can't find it. You must get everything right. You can't find it. Jesus already got it right. He does say this, though. Walk in the light that you have. In other words, God said, I want you to make progress. Walk in the light that you have, and I'm the light. I'm going to help you in every way. Hallelujah. So he says, so he said to them, when you pray, say. Now when Jesus, I think this is on purpose, this one day Jesus is praying, he knows the disciples need to be taught. And he knows they need to hear him and observe him. He doesn't say anything to them. Now you guys need to get to praying here. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say anything to them. And so I think, it didn't surprise him. When they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he was ready, of course, to teach them. And when you pray, So they knew they're going to be instructed by the best. By the best. In other words, that Jesus knows what he's doing. We don't, but he does. Then, of course, he said, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. In heaven. Our problems are in earth, and Jesus said the answer is in a different realm. It's in a higher realm. It's in a better realm. It's called heaven. Thank God we're not limited to what's right here. Because that's where my problems are, right here. He says, I'll pray to God in heaven. And heaven has ways of doing things. Heaven has ways of maneuvering. Heaven has ways of coming in like, oh, thank you, Jesus, for that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In other words, outside of this realm we deal, outside of our problems, right here, to be covered up with problems. And God said, our Father, pray, our Father, he's in heaven, he's not here. He's here, yes, in a sense, but I'm not praying to here. I'm praying to the Father, who's high above all the nonsense. Amen? At the same time, is so intricately wanting to be involved. God's a God of involvement. He's not distant. He's not distant. So he's in a realm without limits. Because he is without limits. And then he says, hallowed be your name. Well, to worship him and give reverence to him. And that, you know, his name means something. Jesus is the only name you get saved under. You don't have eternal life through Buddha or anything other, Hare Krishna, every other name you come up with. It's only Jesus. Hallowed be your name. You know, God's all confused who his son is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And then Jesus, not only was he telling him to, you know, to pray to the Father, Jesus told later on in John 14 there with Thomas, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So in other words, whatever I did, it came by the Father. And so every good thing he did, Jesus, was also how good God the Father is. You know, some people don't grow up with very good fathers. You know how that goes, but it's important we understand how good God the Father is. That'll help us in everything we do of God. That he's total love. He really is good. You know, we can say God is good all the time, but it's important to have that deep in here. Because you're in the situation, and it looks like God is not good. Why is that? Because sometimes maybe I could have a wrong expectation of what God would be doing. Or whatever. I don't think that way, but I don't have wrong expectations at times. But I mean, I don't get upset with God. I know that God's told, I know that he's not the problem. It's me, something, somewhere here. Because I know that he is love. But I've learned that. And another thing about God's love is, I've learned, as a believer, this is true of all believers, he totally approves of you and me all the time. All the time? All the time. He may not approve what I'm doing. Remember when Jesus was being water baptized? And God the Father said this, this is my son, whom I'm well pleased. Well, Jesus really hadn't done anything yet. In one sense. So we would think that was Jesus. And also he's saying that about us. Because of what we've done, we received Jesus. And so with me, I used to have it all tied together. How I acted depended on how much God loved me. I didn't realize that, but I got exposed one day. And I had to get that separated. Oh, did that really help me? When I started getting some revelation of the Father's love towards me. Towards all of us. And that was really a freedom thing, because I was under this performance thing without realizing. You know, you have a performance in the world, which is good. I mean, you know, you need to do good things, of course, on the job. But the problem was I brought that mentality in of God, the Father. And so, you know, we grow in these things. Hallelujah. Here's the question. It's one thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach them. Are we asking him to teach us? So one thing I've learned and seen, you have to be taught. It's not an automatic thing. You may have got taught directly by the Holy Spirit, or God may use somebody, but you're being taught in prayer. Among other things. Teach. Jesus said, when you pray, so Jesus is giving instruction that Jesus didn't believe that either. Disciples, here, just start talking to God the Father. He knew that wasn't going to work. See, I didn't talk to God much. I love God, but I don't have a clue about this prayer stuff. But then, of course, I started learning some things about prayer, started understanding some things about prayer. Oh, this stuff works! No, not for somebody else. I know it works for them. I'm talking about for me, you know, to get engaged. Because, you know, here's Leanne praying, and she's doing, you know, of course, I mean, she's growing in prayer too, but, you know, she was far, farther along ahead of me. And then another thing was, I saw about the prayer people, I'm saying, you know, just my little circle, they didn't tell people about Jesus that I saw, so what good is that? So I finally came to realize it's both. Prayer and all these things. Of course, it's more than just, you know, winning souls. It's every area. So he says, hallowed be your name. And then your will be done. So what is his will? Well, we've learned, of course, that what he says here. God's will. And I found that God is so good. People come up with all this nonsense. I thought, where's that at in the Bible? Where's that at? That's not in there. No, it's his will. So, we can say this. What does the Word say concerning prayer and everything else? What does the Word say? Here's the thought. Lower the resistance and receive the assistance. Lower the resistance. You know, sometimes we resist things not meaning to. Oh, I need to. Lord, help me. Help me to see what you want me to see. So I can lower that resistance. Hallelujah. Here's another thought about this prayer or whatever. Not just prayer alone. We can only have the amount of God that we respond to. We have to learn to respond to him. So here's the disciples, they're responding to Jesus. They're saying, teach me, and then Jesus starts, you know, sharing with them. And then, of course, they start receiving these things. And, of course, we see them walking in these things later on. And because of what Jesus did, his blood gave us access to the throne. So another thing about prayer is we don't have any steps. We have direct access. We don't have all these, like, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. No, we have direct access. Hallelujah. So God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then verse 3 says, give us day by day our daily bread. But there's more to this than just our natural. That's part of it, natural things. You know, bread, all those things with it. But also remember, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. Turn to I'll just share this. Jesus said, of course, he fed the 5,000 circumcised women and children. He fed them that, you know, the fish's loaves and bread. And then he went on to say, I'm the bread of life. And then he's referencing back to Exodus when Exodus 16:15. Let's look there a minute. When they had the manna come down. Exodus 16:15. Actually, start at verse 14. Exodus 16:14. And when the layer of dew lifted there on the surface of the wilderness was a round substance as fine as frost on the ground. And so when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. And this is the thing which the Lord has commanded, let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent. And then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And so when they measured by omers, he who had gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. Now here's something about this manna. It wasn't the manna plus something else. Think about the day we live in. Our food, we always have to have some supplement that, you know, make up the difference. This manna met every physical need of their body. They did not lack in any area. Didn't have to take extra vitamins, didn't take any of that. Think about that. This manna was a total source. So, it wasn't manna plus something, and it's also not Jesus plus something. It's just Jesus. It's just God the Father. Daily bread. And here's something else about this. This manna came down supernaturally during the night, and the senses wouldn't even know it came down. There was no big production. It was just there. Every day. No, it was so supernatural. No big production, but it was there. But the senses wouldn't have known it was there. And yet also, it wasn't very far from camp. They had to go very far to obtain the manna. God's always supernatural. Sometimes some things do happen spectacular. But things that are supernatural doesn't mean they're not very powerful or very important. I mean, the Israelites are on the point of starving to death. This was not just whatever. No, this was like, if they don't get food, they're going to die out there. God shows up with the right thing. I mean, they're always trying, did they find out new ways, better food and so forth? And, you know, it's not just one food, it's always other things. And yet God said, you know what? Here's the perfect food. This will take care of your body in every way. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Meet our daily bread. So that means we need to partake of Jesus every day. Give us this day our daily bread. So God's interested in meeting our needs. And then it says, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Well, that's a big area, isn't it? What do you mean? I think it's a learning thing, I believe. To be able to forgive people and move on. There's always things that happen. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I remember one time, you know, I had a hard time forgiving somebody. I didn't know what I was supposed to do, But I went through that and got free of that. I mean, free of that. I forgive them. Well, I learned about that, of course. You're never going to feel like forgiving somebody. I feel like forgiving. But it's so important that we are free of that. We were free of that. Because, I mean, we know this, but even so, our soul realm, our emotion realm, can just keep us tied up if I have unforgiveness. I'm the one that suffers, not whoever. And so, remember, some of us grew up with these blackboards. They would clean, they had slate blackboards. So I would say it this way. It's important to have a clean slate. You can't find any, you know, we might take the eraser. You see some traces. When the custodian came in, he cleaned that. And the next day, it was fresh, clean slate. The blood of Jesus will cleanse us clean. I just need to step out and say, Lord, I ask you, Lord, I release them. I forgive them. And God, how merciful you are to me all the time. So I might want to justify myself, but I can't go there. And it's just so much better. It's so free to live free of unforgiveness. It's not always easy. But God can help us in this process. And then it says, do not lead us in temptation. Well, that's kind of misleading. It says, do not lead us into temptation. God's not leading us in temptation. Really, you can say it this way. He'd ask for God for wisdom and strength to stop making bad decisions. To get us in trouble. And here's the thought with that too. If I don't ask God to help deal with my character flaws, the devil will. He'll deal with it. And so, if I got any character flaws, I need to deal with those. I've seen wonderful ministries that didn't deal with things, not even the ministry anymore. Anointed. Well, we all have weaknesses, but if there's some character things that God wants to work with, when God points those out, that means there's anointing. I'm here to help you. It's a good thing, not a bad thing. He's so gracious to help us. God's never condemning us. He's never condemning us. And so I can ask for God's wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for understanding. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And responding to Him. And then, of course, you know, I think Matthew says there about the Lord, we say the model of prayer is, and thine be the glory and the power of the kingdom. So you can say this, when you get done praying, whatever, when I start praising God again, I'm saying, God, I know you're going to answer this prayer. And I've prayed according to your word. I know you're going to, so I just thank you, Father. I thank you for that. I thank you. Praise God. And then we were in prayer tonight. Hillary gave a testimony of how the prayer group here, we weren't here at that meeting time anyway, they had somebody contact them by email or whatever it was, or call, maybe call, I don't remember for sure. Had a young baby that was on the brink, could die. And so you all prayed for that baby. And so Hillary thought, why don't you check up on that? Kind of contact here, and, you know, found out about a year or so since the past. Found out that the child's doing great, totally healthy, and wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Answer prayer. Here's the thing about prayer. It's not complicated, but it's not casual either. It's not complicated. It's not casual either. It's just, I'm talking to a person, and you all know this, but to me, keeping things simple. I'm not trying to pray everything right. I want to make sure that I pray lines up with this, but what I mean with that is, I've got God's grace helping me. I do the best I know how, but you know I'm not perfect. So I don't put myself under that pressure. Well, I think you better pray right. No, I learn how to pray some things, and not for sure. I just maybe go ahead and put it on a shelf till I find some more understanding about that. But it, you know, so it's just a growing thing. So I find just grace helps me stay free of. Better get it right. That's what the law says. The law says you better get it right and there's no help. Well, grace says, I'm here to help you. Jesus is here to help us. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. And so in this, I'm not praying by myself. I've got somebody who lives in